The first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the second is like it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Responsively, selection 24. Let us unite in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, thou who hast created the universe, thou who hast placed us here in thy divine wisdom, thou who hast loved us from the foundation of the world, thou who hast revealed thyself to us in Jesus Christ, thy Son, we ascribe to thee the honor and the glory which belong to thee. Accept, O God, the praise of our lips as expressing this is a sincere emotion of our hearts. Forgive us, our Heavenly Father, of our sins. When we look within, we see many things which displease us. We know there are other things which we do not see, which displease thee. So, Lord God, we pray for forgiveness. Not only for those sins which we see, but for those which we do not see. And, O God, we pray that thou wilt reveal them to us. And in some measure may we see ourselves as thou dost see us. We pray, O God, for the presence of thy Holy Spirit on this campus. May he be here in this service. May he be in the hearts of our teachers and the students and everyone who works for this institution. Give us, we pray thee, O God, the consciousness of the presence, the leadership, and the power of thy Holy Spirit. Bless the one who comes to us this morning as our speaker. Open our hearts to him and give him, we pray, a message from thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is my privilege this morning to reciprocate the courtesy and the kindness shown to me some time ago when I was in Richmond. And our speaker introduced me at the chapel of the Foreign Mission Board. Our speaker is at the present time engaged in a series of revival services at Youngsville, and we are indebted to Reverend Rufus Potts for his presence with us this morning. For 15 years, our speaker, the Reverend Fon Schofield, has been the Director of Visual Education of the Foreign Mission Board. In this capacity, he has done very valuable service in the promotion of our missionary enterprise. He has been around the world. Films have been made of our work in various parts of the world and distributed throughout our convention. We are very grateful for this work that Brother Schofield has done, and we cordially welcome him this morning.
Thank you, Dr. McDowell. This morning I would like to think with you for a few moments about men in the middle. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth in the second letter, provides us our text. It's in the second chapter, in the 14th to the 17th verses. Thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph, and through us spreads the fragrance of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Every time I read that paragraph, I always feel like saying, who, me? Even Paul was a bit concerned too, for right in the middle of the paragraph, he asks, who is sufficient for these things? But it does mean us. It means every one of us. It means us individually. It means us as the church of Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't mean us in our splendid attainments or in our many degrees. It doesn't mean us with our gifts of oratory and our capacity for showmanship. Not us as people with white skins, nor as Americans, not even as Southern Baptists. It means us in Christ. How does it go? Thanks be to God who in Christ leads us and through us spreads the fragrance of him everywhere. Here is an invitation to think of ourselves in relationship to the triune God. Here the doctrine of the Trinity is something more than a few pious phrases. It's something more than section bearing the Roman numeral 2 in a statement of faith. Here, the doctrine's overtones of meaning are apparent. Here is God the Father, the Creator, confronting the world, his creation, confronting men, his creatures, whom he chooses to redeem. But the creatures are confronted as responsible men. For some are being saved, some are being lost. Some are moving from life to life, some are moving from death to death. God the Father is doing this through his Son. This confrontation is from the incarnation forever, Jesus Christ before all mankind, and the ultimate issue is faith or unbelief in him. It is into the middle of all this that we fit. Through us are the words. Here the Holy Spirit is involved, for only through the Holy Spirit are we able to speak in Christ. Only through the Holy Spirit are men confronted. Through the Holy Spirit we are in Christ, spreading the fragrance of him everywhere. It is from this context of being caught in the middle that I speak today. And first of all, I would remind you that we're not caught like a rat in a trap. We're not caught like a motorist going the wrong way on a one-way street. For where we are has no element of chance in it. We're not in the middle by some freak accident. Rather, there is purpose. There is choice. There is election. And these are God's. And of course, there is response. There is an act of will. Somewhere along the line, there has been what our Spanish-speaking friends call momento de verdad, a moment of truth. There has been decision, a turning about, a positive movement in a new direction. And these are ours. So we can't just say we are caught. We might go further and say we are caught up. But that isn't adequate either, for we are not just caught up. Rather, we are caught up into a master plan. Caught up into the plan, God's eternal purpose. In this, we live and work as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. This is all contrasted in our text with those who are peddlers of God's word. And of course, it is possible to live alongside the middle as if you were in the middle. You can even be pointed out as a prime example of one living in the middle. You can even talk yourself to believing you are in the middle. This is the area where religious professionalism thrives. This is where you will find the professional Christian, speaking the language, wearing the clothes, living in the house. All of these things are possible without ever getting near the middle. The church has always been harassed by these peddlers. Today, they are adept and trained. The jargon of Madison Avenue is on their lips. The standards of secularism are their norms. Cultural trappings are understood much more clearly than the gospel, and usually the trappings are identified as the gospel. The peddler will invariably see prospects instead of lost sheep. But let's get back to the middle again. We're in the middle because we are surrounded. About us, God's purpose is working out. And that purpose is not working out in a vacuum. It's working out in history. That which God has done, is doing, and yet will do is a part of the past, the present, and the future in history. Now, of course, the ultimate issue of it all, there's no doubt. The process is clearly laid out. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. The immediate confrontation, whether in Galilee or Judea or Samaria 2,000 years ago, or in Asia, or in Africa, or here today, is always a present reality. Yet, this confrontation is always a foretaste of that which is to be, when it will all be summed up in the glorified humanity of Jesus Christ. The middle where we are caught up comes into perspective for us only when we sense the reality of this continuing confrontation and respond in faith to live in it. And it is in faith that we understand our position in the middle. Yet, in faith, with the middle in perspective, we never completely sever the ties that bind us to our humanity. We are in Christ, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In the middle, we have some idea of the greatness of God's purpose, some idea of the master plan into which we are caught up. But we are still tied to the same humanity that reacted so violently to Jesus. There is a difference, of course, a great and significant difference. For in the middle, we are in a new relationship to God, in Christ, through the Holy Spirit. This is a new dimension, and because of it, there is a new aroma about us. It was out of this new dimension that Paul could speak to us who are in it, to say, thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph. and through us spreads the fragrance of Him everywhere. The middle is a battleground, and we in it must always feel the surging power of the great forces about us. We're caught in the tension which results when our own tendency to self-reliance meets our new humanity in Christ. We are part of that which stands forever opposed to God's purpose of redemption, yet we are in Christ. It is out of this tension that we in the middle echo the age-old cry, "I believe, help my unbelief." From the middle between what he knew in Christ and his humanity, Paul reminded us that we see now in a mirror dimly. It was from the middle that he wrote, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on." There's no escape from this tension. There can be none. There must be none. For just as the tension between the mainspring and the balance wheel in your watch makes it possible for your watch to keep time accurately, so does this tension make it possible for us to speak to those about us. Only in this tension is our voice intelligent and relevant. Only in this tension can we be the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. It's forever beyond our human capacity to understand. Dr. D.T. Niles helped me at this point. I share it with you. Dr. Niles was preaching in Richmond, and in his sermon, he was talking about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was in a predicament somewhat similar to ours, only his problem was in understanding how a man can be born again. In his expressive English, which is a second language to him, Dr. Niles restated the conversation, and he had Jesus say something like this, "Don't worry about it. There are lots of things you don't understand. Take the wind. You don't know from where it is coming, and you don't know to where it is going." Then in a wonderful paraphrase, Dr. Niles said, "But you can stand where the breezes blow. The breezes blow on us when we live and work in the middle." Now to summarize and conclude, we live and work in the middle in tension. From here, we may speak with effectiveness, with relevancy, and with intelligence. And it is here at this point that the peddler must always fail, for he will not accept this discipline. He cannot abide this particularity. He cannot stay in the middle. In the middle, we maintain our relationship to the triune God and to history as God's purpose is working out. In the middle, we feel the surging power of conflicting forces. And in these, we bear our witness. And witness is the right word. For we are not agents. That's what the peddler wants to be. But it is impossible to achieve. We are witnesses. Witnesses to God's purpose, to His control over history, to His great standard of life, His norm of judgment, Jesus, who is Christ. Our witness is to people who know the same confusions we have known and continue to feel. Men and nations groping for a sense of direction, for some all-determining purpose, for meaning. The other day, I left Dulles Airport with about 100 others for Los Angeles. It was a terrible day. Cold, snow, fog, rain, wind. We were the only airplane that took off, and we were allowed to leave because we were going completely out of the area, clear across the country. Well, soon after takeoff, a modern aircraft, we were above the clouds and in the beautiful sunshine. We were warm, comfortable, feeling quite pleased with the kind of progress that could overcome the storm that we had left behind us. We had a nice meal. Oh, it was a wonderful world we had up there, all to ourselves. Smug, but it was great, and we were enjoying it. And then trouble. A motor went out, and then another. And all of a sudden, we were faced with judgment, and we had to reevaluate our little world. And it wasn't real at all. What was real was that storm into which we were descending at terrifying speed. We were probing for the airport in Salt Lake City. The mountains around it became very real. Real and very, very hard. We bear our witness to people living in smug little worlds. Smug little worlds of their own making. These little worlds may be as simple as a neighborhood, a country club, a professional group, or even a church. They may be more expansive. Labor unions, welfare states, or even a denomination. In these which man makes, even the concept freedom can have soteriological overtones. In Accra, in the little country of Ghana in West Africa, the visitor is stopped short when in the center of town he comes to a tremendous statue of Kwame Nkrumah. On this statue, standing there, the figure of the premier, and on the base of it are these words: "Seek ye first the political kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you." In this confusion, to these smug little worlds, or smug big worlds, to all heresies, we bear our witness effectively only from the middle. I was recently in Brazil. I visited in the homes of many missionaries. In almost every one of them, I found a Brazilian magazine somewhat like Our Life. Each issue carries a cartoon feature which fascinated me. It's called Amigo Dança, or translated, I think, The Friend of the Tiger. I would ask the children to interpret the captions of this full-page cartoon for me. Almost invariably, they would say, "This is what it says, but here is what it means." I know it's oversimplified, but that is very close to where we are and to the pattern of our witness. From the middle, we bear our witness. With our Lord, we preach and act, and His pronouncement is ours. The kingdom of God is at hand. From the middle and out of tension, we speak intelligently, effectively, and with relevance, because we speak from experience to experience as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God. In the sight of God, we speak in Christ. But we speak not as masters. We speak always as servants, looking up to the Father, who is the Lord of history. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege Thou hast given us of being in this relationship to Thee. We stand always humble as Thou dost include us, as Thou dost seek to use us. We would be so humble, a degree of humility so great that we might disappear, that in and through us the Lord Jesus might speak. For we would not try to be agents. We would try to be witnesses. We would not try to be masters. We would try and want to be servants. And now, our Father, as these Thy children go, may Thy grace, mercy, and peace be and abide with them all and each, now and forevermore.